Okay, we're going to come to the end of the first part of Siman Samach Zayin. As I mentioned at the outset, Sif Aleph through Yud Zayin are the rules of Shemitah Kesafim, and from Yud Chesin on are the rules of Prizbul. We, at the end of last week's shiur, had learned the Sif, Yudalit and Tezvav, which are two similar Sifim. Sif Yudalit said, Hakafas Chanus Eina Mishametes, that if you have credit in a store, if you made a purchase, and you owe money for your purchase, Shemitah is not Mishamet. And Simon Tezvav said, Schasachir Eina Mishamet. Both are very similar rules, that Shemitah is not Mishamet money that's owed for a purchase, or money that's owed for salaries, or for rentals. It says Schasachir, but it includes not only salaries, but rentals. So if somebody is late with a paycheck, as sometimes happens in yeshiva, when is a paycheck due? A monthly paycheck is due. In yeshiva, they call it on time when they give it by the 20th. Not kidding. They're very proud. They're on time. They always give it by the 20th.
Which month?
What do you think? A previous month? But anyway, that's the halacha. Now, what's the reason for it? So it's very, very strange. I think I mentioned last week, there are 9 Rishonim who explain, including Tosis and the Rosh, the Mefarshim and the Ran, all on the Gemara and Gittin, that gives a simple reason that Shemitah is not Mishamet, only Halvois, only loans. And things that are not loans, Shemitah is not Mishamet, if it's not a Halva. And that's the reason that Shogram and Piakoyal, that's a well-known reason. For some reason, the Smat chose to bring the Rambam's explanation, which is, as far as I know, a Das Yochid. And he has a different explanation. As a tremendous nafkamina, the Smat says the reason Shemitah is not Mishamit when you buy something in the store is because it's not the derech to pay right away. If you buy in a store and you buy things on credit, so usually when it accumulates, they start to, they bill you. They don't bill you each time. Since they don't bill you each time, therefore, Shemitah is not Mishamet. Now, there's a gigantic nafkamina. Bizman Azeh, there's a tremendous nafkamina. It's taka true that in the stores, they don't bill you right away. But what about, you go to the dentist, you go to the doctor, or you call a plumber to do work in the house. So it's a tremendous nafkamina. If you learn the reason of most Rishayim, that if it's not a loan, Shemitah is not Mishamit. So the same thing is true. If you go to the doctor's office, you go to the dentist's office, you call a plumber, until it becomes a loan, it's just billing for services, billing for goods, it's not Mishamit. According to the Smaz reason, the Smaz says the reason Shemitah is not Mishamit things in the store is because it's not the derech to bill until it adds up. That's not true about a doctor's visit or about a plumber. It's just not true. As a matter of fact, it's not even true about salary. The people expect to get paid. If they don't get paid, it's supposed to be paid when the salary is due. We don't wait a few months or weeks and then ask for the money. So it's a tremendous nafkamina, and it's a little confusing. It would seem, this is one of those places where if you look at the page of the Shulchan Aruch, it seems one way. And if you look at the Tshuvas of the Achrayim, it seems the other way. It seems the real reason, or the main reason, la halacha, is because it's not a loan, and anything that's not a loan is not Mishamet.
But something has to be paid in 30 days. Still 30 days, you know, after 30 days, it changes over to Milvah.
Things that are not due till 30 days, so he said that Shemitah is not Mishamet if it's not due on the day, on the last day of Shemitah. Right, right. If you give a loan, that's a shanim, so it's not due. So it doesn't matter if it's a milvah. Because even if I lend you money and you don't have to pay for 30 days or 10 years, it's the loyigos. It has to be something that's due. So that the fact that it's not due is.
What status does it have though?
The 30 net, when they have the, what is it called, 30 net?
2-10 net 30.
When they do 2-10 net 30, what does that mean? It means it's doing 30 days at full, and 2% off right away. When does that do? It's doing 30. It's an incentive to pay early. So that's called billing? If you bill somebody, you get an oil delivery to the house, and they slip a bill in, and it says 2-10 net 30. Which, by the way, firm company shouldn't be saying. It's a ribbis issue. But 2-10 net 30 is an old dispute, goes back 200 years in the very excellent ribbis book. You know, it has the mechaber on top and the mefarshim on bottom. There's only one page with no mechaber, just like a page or two. That's on 2-10 net 30. The disputes over the centuries. And do you look at 2-10 net 30 is when you bill somebody, full payment is due 30 days, you get a discount. It's 2% to a discount for 30 days. So whether is 30 days the real price and it's taka discount, or is the real price now and like when you go to the gas station?
Say if that's the situation, you should always pay the 30. You shouldn't pay
the... to avoid a shiloh, you should pay the 30. When you go to the gas station, you should buy the cash price, not the credit price. The Sma brings the Rambam and he makes a nafkamina. His nafkamina is the case I just mentioned. No, he's not talking about that. he seems to hold that buying on credit is Meshamet Mikradin, if not for his reason. Rabbi said, let's look at the Ramah in Sif Yudalit. Ramah introduces a concept of Zakfan Alav Bimilva. Mikri Zakifa Mishah Shekavala Isman Lefoira. Okay, the Ramah in Yudalit, if you do any of the above, you buy in store on credit, you go to the dentist, or you call a plumber, all these things are changed into a milva. It's called Zakfan Alav Milva. It's turned into a milva. Mishah Shekavala Isman Lepayre. From the time that you conveya a due date, when you tell them it's due by this and this day. And V'yeshaymer Mikri Zekifa Miyad Shekasa Bipinkasai Kol HaChesben Biyachad. Now, be vidayak in the words. He says as soon as the grocer adds up the pinkasai in his book, kol hacheshbon v'yachad, when he adds it, totals it up, at that point it becomes zakfan alav b'milva. It turns into a milva. Now, this is nageya, zakfan alav b'milva, in many of the cases, it's nageya tilchus ribbis as well, when it turns to ribbis d'oraisa. What? Let me explain 1 second. An obligation is formally established as debt. It's when you bill for goods and services, when the customer is billed. Generally, when the customer is billed, that's the first shita. If shmita passes after the customer is billed, then the merchant will no longer collect his debt, and shmita is mishamit. According to some opinions, that's the Yesh Ayrim, when the merchant totals the money he's owed by an individual customer, even if he doesn't send out a bill, this formally establishes the debt. It's called Zakfan Alav B'Milva. Now, it's a little tricky because by us, where it's everything computerized, as soon as you buy something on credit, the computer totals it right away. When you get your bill, it's all totaled up as a... is that called Zakfan Alav B'Milva? If it's automatically totaled up, it's somehow that mistaver that it is that way.
So when will it come a milva then?
What?
Then when will it come a milva?
When he bills you, when he says time to pay. Once he bills you. That's the first shita, right?
No, second
shita. So I don't know today how, what you would do with the second shita. Second shita says when you buy a credit, it's not a milva. When you add it up, you total it, it becomes a milva. But here it gets totaled up automatically by the computer. That's called zikla b'milva. It's no different. When they used to have these books and used to buy on credit, and when they had the computer to the customer and merchant relationship, there's no difference. It's hard to say then it becomes a milva.
It's very, very complicated. When they send you to collection, that's when you start
with collection. Is no shayla when they bill you.
That's why it comes to heaven.
Before then, it's when they bill you, even before collection.
Still purchase.
No,
they ask you. They want you to pay them.
You're not right. You can look in this book and you'll see.
I didn't have collection before.
But you don't need collection. It's private.
I thought it was the second time he extends credit. Yeah, he bills it the first time. He's not mochel it, but no.
If this is suffix, what he means, I guess so.
Now,
you have to speak louder, I don't hear so.
If an employee demands that the employer pay, it's just a business. I just worked for you.
Let's talk about the milva.
Why did the milva change it?
He said, you owe me money. I think when he says, you owe me money, when he says, my pay date is next Sunday, please pay me on Sunday, he's demanding payment for services. When he says, you're late, pay me, he says, you owe me money. Pay me what you owe me. I understand, but he's saying, you owe me money. If it's before it's due, he says, you got to pay me my wages, that's due next week. He's demanding wages. When it's a week late, and he says, you're late, you owe me money, you owe me money. It becomes a chayv. I don't know, the yeshiva sort of understood, maybe, that the payday is... Yeshiva is not liable for anything. Okay. Now, the...
just because it generates an amount, the person should really go bad when he generates a
sale. Look at the Ramah. Ramah says, even if he doesn't send it to the buyer. Ramah says, if the Pinkus totals it, even without billing him... That's Lashon the Ramah. Look, it's if you give him. That's his Lashon. He says, "V'yeshayim rim the mikri zakum miyach kasim pippin kasai." That means he didn't bill him yet. He's only kasim pippin kasai.
Nowadays, the plumber or electrician, when they come to do your work, they want to pay right away.
Oh, so that's a different story. That there's no shayla.
That's what?
That's a yes. Yeah, he demands payment. If you don't pay, we say I'll pay it tomorrow. That's the Lashon the Yodim. You owe him the money. Wasn't this man of any worker is when he finishes his work. The Torah is Kaveh's man. You have to pay a sachir at the end of the day. Finish work a day, you have to pay him by sunset. And finish work at night, you have to pay him by sunrise. The Torah is Kaveh, but you have to take schara. If you hire someone to work, the Torah says you have to pay right away. The Torah says you have to pay right away. Why do you have to be Kaveh's man? If it's the other way, if you work and it works, I'll send you a bill. So then your Kaveh's man is when I send a bill. So till you send a bill, it's not a milva. But if someone works for you, you have to pay him that day. Yeah, if you have a babysitter, you have a car service guy, all these things, a mitzvah and lois sasei, you're not supposed to leave it overnight. It's only some companies, they send a plumber and then they bill you. Or they send the goods and then they bill you. In that case, the conveyor is mount later and it's not a milva yet. When they bill you, it becomes a milva. But stoma, you're supposed to pay somebody right away. Unless you made up, you pay him about a week or you pay him about a month. But the contractor, when he finishes the work, you have to pay. By a sachir, yes. By a kablon, it's not clear the whole din of the yamit tischari applies by kablonus. But by a sachir, somebody comes to your house to do plumbing work, and he charges you for the hours of work. That definitely it applies. If he's installing whatever it is, an air conditioning system or something, he just charges you by the job, not by the hour. Kablonus, it's not clear that the yamit tischari applies. But a wager, if somebody gets paid by the hour, there's a chiyuv to pay that day. Now, if he doesn't ask you for the money, you're not mechiyuv to go to him. It's only if he's teveah the money. Or if you're in the house when he finishes working. But otherwise, doesn't. Because there's no b'yamit tischari, he doesn't get paid by the day. And here's what it says in the name of the Son. Now, getting back here, there's a switching over to Hilchus Ribbis. There are significant nafkaminas between Ribbis Deraisa and Ribbis Derabanan. Ribbis Deraisa is when it originates as a loan. Someone lends you money, that's Ribbis Deraisa. When it originates as Mekach U'Memkar, when he gives you goods or services and you owe him money, that's Ribbis Derabanan. You're also not supposed to pay extra. If you pay late, you have an employer who feels bad, he's paying his employee late, so he gives him a bonus because he's paying late. So that's also, that's Ribbis Derabanan. Because you're paying for services, you're paying for goods, that's Ribbis Derabanan. There are a few major nafkaminas. One is whether you're obligated to return the money, whether you can be forced, be debedine adam. If you give someone ribis, afterwards you can be tevei the money back. Because ribis, the Torah says, nahadalei keecha denichi. The Gemara learns of chai bohem, nahadalei, you have to give him back the money. So by ribis deraisa, you can be forced to give back the money. By ribis derabanan, there's no obligation. You're supposed to give back the money anyway, let's say they shemayim. But it's not a strict obligation to give back the money. And it's therefore, Zalkan Abim Ilva turns it into Ribbis Deraisa. Another nafkamina is tzedakas. Tzedakah is allowed to take Ribbis Derabanan. For tzarchei tzedakah, you're allowed to take Ribbis Derabanan, which means that a moisid can bill and charge a fee for being late, assuming that it's not a private business, it's a moisid where the money all goes into the moisid, then a moisid could bill because it's for goods and services. A moisid is a kamlon. Whoever runs the moisid hires teachers and provides a building and provides food, and it's kamlonas. And there is no there's no issur ribbis derabanan. As a matter of fact, if you want to invest money with someone, if the person guarantees the money, if he guarantees the money, he guarantees everything. He guarantees the principal and the interest, that's ribbis deraisa. That's a loan. If you give someone money and he's guaranteed to give you back the money, that is the status of a loan. Liability denotes whether it's a loan or an investment. An investment has to have a possibility of loss. And therefore, if I invest with someone and he guarantees me, I guarantee you won't lose money. I'll give you back the keren. If he guarantees the keren and the interest, that's ribbis deraisa. If he guarantees the keren but not the interest, that's ribbis derabanan. He's not guaranteeing the interest, so the interest depends on profit. That's ribbis derabanan. For tzedakah, from yisaimin money, what? The ribbis is in the guarantee. There's no ribbis later. When he returns the $100,000 with another $10,000, that's ribbis. The $10,000, but it's not ribbis ksusa. It's not set ribbis, and it's I don't have a cold. It's my vocal cords acting up again. My wife always tells me I talk too much. It's a simple problem. I tell her when I sit with you, I don't say a word. You're the one who's talking the whole time. So that's, it's a loan. That 90% is a loan. By mois yisaimim, or mois tzedakah, you're allowed to invest and guarantee the principal. It's ribbis derabanan. And people ask me, is it really mutar lechatchila? Says the Tshuvas Noida Yehuda, who says, kach ani oisa b'mois yisaimim shaviyadi. He says, that's what he does all the time. The money is raised for yisaimim. He says, that's what he does all the time. He invests it when they guarantee the principal and not the interest. That's ribbis derabanan.
Sometimes a tzedakah will ask if you've been covered the credit card fee. Is that derabanan?
No, you're obligated to cover the credit card fee. You really should be. If you give tzedakah with a credit card, you give a tzedakah $100, but they're only getting $98. For your meisa money, you only gave $98. You pay $98 to the tzedakah and $2 to the company that's doing the delivery. So it's really not. Yeah, the problem is when they ask you to cover the fee, they charge you 10% or something, and it's not exactly the fee.
But the most I have to call it a penalty that they pay. Where they
I don't want to get into all that. We're going to get sidetracked as it is. Okay, let's move on to Siftei Zayin. Siftei Zayin. Knash al oynes umafato umaytzi shemra. Okay, the Torah has a number of knasses. We're not talking here about a knas. Look, when you come late to minyan yeshiva, they give you a knas. We're talking about the Torah setting up a knas. The Torah has a handful of cases of knas. Only three of them are a set number of shkolim, a set number of zuzim, and those three are eved. Eved is if your animal kills an Eved, what's the knas? 30 shekel. Manis umafata, the knas is 50. Baiti shemra, the knas is 100. Now, how do you remember which is which? So I have a simon for when I was a boy. That Eved, has how many letters? Three. So it's 30. Mefuta, how many letters? Five. It's 50. Maitzi Shemra is 100 because it's 10 letters. Now, nobody ever caught me. Maitzi Shemra is actually 9 letters. Nobody ever caught me on this. But it works. Eved is 30 and Mefuta is 50. Oh, Maitzi Shemra, thank you. Now, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shulchan Aruch says, again, Siftes Zayin, Knas Shalaynis Mefata Maizi Shemra Eina Mishamtin. Shemitah is not Mishamit. Vim Zakum Bemilva, if you build him, Mishamtin. Meim Yisai Niskafin. And when is it Niskaf Mishas? What's the next word? Okay, the Lamed Aleph is not Loi. It's the Smash. Mishas Hamad Abedin. So quick, why is Shemitah not Mishamit Einis Umafata, Umas Shemra? Like the 9 Rishayim, it's easy, it's not a halva. According to the Rambam, because the Mishnah asks, the Rambam said that when you buy on credit, the reason it's not, Shemitah is not Mishamit, it's not the derech to be Teveya until you do it a few times. Is that by a Mahanis? Is that the way it is? Where until he does it a couple of times, you don't bill him? Because here's Matviya on the Rambam. So Chai Kineski brings from the Lashon of the Pirashar of Mishnayis, the Rambam says the reason Shemitah is not Mishamit the Knasa is because they come Lekapara. They come not just because the other person deserves the money, but because you need it's an Einish to be Mechaper, and therefore Shemitah is not Mishamit. You need it for yourself. It's not because of him, it's because of you. He says that's his Bior in this sif. Now, last week, someone asked me, so I don't remember who it was, someone looked ahead and said, why is this doing in Shulchan Aruch?
Right.
What's this doing in Shulchan Aruch? Today, we're not down Dine Knossos Bizman Hazeh. Why is Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Ulam Mashicha? Why is Shulchan Aruch, why is it bringing Dinim of Aynes Mefata Maitzi Shemra? Do you such a din to pay Lazay Shemayim? What?
Details.
So there's a halacha not well known in Simin Aleph. In the beginning of Chai Shemishpah begins with the rules of things with Teveya Bizman Hazeh. But today we don't have a Bezin Shal Smuchim. The Smicha was bottled. And we certainly can't be down capital punishments or Malkis, none of these things without a Bezin Shal Smuchim. And really we can't be done anything, but it's brought that anan shluchei de kamoy avdinan. For non-knossos, and for things that are shchiach, we're shluchei de kamoy, and we're done. Bezna has a right to be done. Now, we don't have the power to enforce it, bezman hazeh, but in theory, it's a binding psak. When you have a bezna, that paskins, it's binding only on the things that are Bizman Hazeh. The first words of Chayshu Mishpat are, Bizman Hazeh donim hadayonim dinei hoidois havois ksuvis yerushais matonois umazik bam chaverim. It brings the list of the things that we do bizman hazeh. Now, what's not well known is that later in Sif Hei, it says that tfisa helps for knosis. Now, I'll tell you what that means in practical terms. If someone steals from you, he has to pay kefil. If he steals from you, then stealing only if he steals, only if he steals in front of, not in front of people.
If he steals
from you, he has to pay kefil. Now, Bizman HaZeh, we're not done kefil because we're not done dine knosis. But the Shulchan Aruch says that tfisa helps. Tfisa helps for kefil and therefore it's negeh Bizman HaZeh. Not only that, it says if someone swiped kefil and they go to Bezdin, so Bezdin paskins kefil. They pay how much was it worth? How was he entitled to? So that's what it says there in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. I had learned this in Shir, in Yeshiva, because in the Yeshiva world there's a famous Reb Naftali. It's not only Reb Naftali, but it's famous Reb Naftali that a knas, you're not chayiv a knas until Bezdin paskins it. It doesn't exist until Bezdin paskins. It's such a famous thing that answers. So whenever we learn in Yeshiva, afterwards I tell the guys, P.S., this is all in Shitas HaRishayim. In Halach, it's not that way. In Halacha, tfisa works. You can grab a knas, even though Bezdin never paskened him. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So what happened in the yeshiva, there were guys clowning around in the dorm. So there was a fellow who was a big picture taker. He took pictures all over the place. He had an expensive camera. And he went to take a shower. Some guys were schmoozing in the room. So one of his roommates, he took the camera. The camera, he left it on his desk. He took it and he stuck it in his drawer. And when the fellow came back, there were a few of them standing in the corner, made like they were schmoozing. So he came back in the shower, he starts looking for his camera, he looks here, looks there, he panics. So they're all giggling in the corner there. They're very funny, as you know. So, you know, boys have funny ways of showing friendship. I realized when I was in Camp Benos for many summers, my wife had a job there, the last night at camp, the girls are crying. I asked my wife, why are they crying? So what do you mean why are they crying? They're not going to see their friends for 10 months. So I told them, you know what they do in boys' camps the last night? They play practical jokes on each other. They pour water on each other. So I said, that's the way they show their love. You know, everyone shows love his own way. Anyway, what happened is, so this fellow grabbed the camera, and he was giggling, so he walked out. He was afraid he'd laugh too much. As soon as he walked out, the other guys told him, don't panic, he took your camera, it's over here. So the fellow said, he's going to show me, I'm going to show him. He was typhus kefil. He had just learned you can be typhus kefil. So he was typhus, he took the camera, he took something else. I don't know what else he took. And the guy said, no, come on, I give it back. He said, no, we'll go to Rebelski tomorrow. So I went to Rebelski tomorrow. He said, I was typhus kefil. He said, you're right, you can be typhus kefil. I think after that he gave it back. But there is such a halacha. That's the only reason I can imagine the Shulchan Aruch would bring this halacha. Because tfisa helps. Shemitah's Meshamet, tfisa won't help.
But the kefil is only gavui after Bezdin.
It's interesting. It can be only gavui. We normally understand, without a psak Bezdin, it can be kefil. But it's mukhruch not that way from Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, we don't dan dine kefil, but if you're typhus, then it helps. After you're typhus, then you know, because we don't hold of this chiddush, that it's not chal till after. Shulchan Aruch says, even though we're not going for knosis, it says im tofas hanizik shia masheroy lelitoil. If you grab what he's allowed to take, we don't take it. If you remember hanizik shumuli, the nizik will say, tell me how much I'm allowed to take. Niski sheida kama etvais. If he wants to grab, Bezdin doesn't listen to him to paskin. Elam kfar tofas, if he already grabbed, shamalai, v'aymalai, kafakach tarzik. So it's clear from Shulchan Aruch, even without a psak. In yeshiva, we usually understand that the knas, there's no chiyav knas until it happens. Maidi b'knas is potter. So how could there be a chiyav beforehand? From Shulchan Aruch, it's mukhaf, not that way.
Is there a parallel between tfisa, is there a parallel between tfisa and kanoim hobikol? grab it right away.
Offhand, that the halachs are not telling us that offhand. But what? Why? Oh, except Pesach Bez and earlier, I did say there was a sif that said, I mean, Kefil is not a Pesach Bez. Okay, the Kefil should be included. Why is it mentioned Kefil?
So it comes out in the Keren?
What?
How about the Keren?
On Geneva? Yeah. We had it. The Mechaber said earlier that Geneva is not Meshamet. We had, I think, earlier. Until it's a Pesach Bez, then Bitsav, then Shemitah is Meshamet. Okay, yeah. It's difficult to start getting into other things, but Avin Ishtil and Afsha, yeah, a person could do it different. So. There's no Matzias Zachar Bamil, but yeah, I guess unless he builds him, he tries to build him. Okay, Nachinami. So it brings the Ikra Adin, I guess. It's, I think it just brings the Lashon HaRambam. All right, Sif Yud Zayin. Hamigarish is ishtai kaidim shmita, eng suvasa nishmetes. Okay, a man owes his wife a ksuba, eng ksuba nishmetes, im pagmasa, a zakza bemilva mishametes. Pagmasa means if she already took a partial payment, she started to accept payment, or zakza bemilva, she billed him. Then mishametes, then it's mishametes. It isn't the din of a ksuba. Now our ksubis, if you listen to a ksuba under the chuppah, our nusach of ksuba is evolved in a very strange way. It's not like the Gemara. When you learn ksubis, you learn that it says in the ksuba, b'din dichrid yahav lechiminoi, etc. Now, I don't know if you ever listen carefully, but they're reading it under the chuppah. They don't say, b'din dichrin yavon lechim. No, all that language is not there. Our ksuba shtar that we have is three shtaris rolled into one and mentioned only generally. Very, very generally. We don't put pratim in the ksuba. Instead, because there's so many complications, and over the generations, so many different menhagim and chiyuvim, what we write in the ksuba is we write biyayim such and such in this place, in this date, in this place. This man said to this woman, "Havli liintu, please marry me." And vitzavi, and she agreed, and she agreed to marry him. And he's mechayiv himself in what? He's mechayiv himself kmini gavrin yudaim on the eka ve'eflas va'eka ve'ezin yisichi lichi klos gavrin yudaim the zanin. That's the whole ksuba that we say I'm going to do kimini guvri yudayim, like the meaning of erlich yidden, that meiker and mezin or mefarnis, I'm missing one, l'shem b'kushta. That's the end of the ksuba. What's the after that? Then it says v'tzavi moron the chasin v'hoisif min delay oid meis gun kesef tzarev. He adds, that's called taisis ksuba. Tais ksuba is really optional. It's really optional, but by Ashkenazim, we have a minig that we add tais ksuba 50% to the ksuba. The ksuba is 200 zuz. We add another 100 for a second marriage. The ksuba is 100. We add another 50 for tais ksuba. That's our minig. By Svardim. We live in a mixed community. I've been inside the Kedushin for Sfaradim a number of times. Sfaradim, they don't do that. By Sfaradim, they sit around the table and they negotiate. Jack, how much you want to give for the ksuba? You know, and they have all kinds of Kabbalistic numbers, usually fives, right?
Five, sure.
Five. So they give $55,155, so they write for the ksuba with the Taisis ksuba. And they put in whatever it is that they, They put it in dollars. Yeah, they put it in dollars. So we have ksuba, taisis ksuba, and then, if you listen carefully, v'dei nudanya dan halas lemi be'yavua, be'mi kesef, be'mi zav, be'mi tashitim, be'mi mana levusha, be'mi shushadara, what's that? That's the danya. Is a third obligation. And the chassan makes a kinyan out, he has no clue what he's obligating himself. We learned Ksubis in Yeshiva. The last day of Yeshiva, I give out Ksubis, and we read the Ksuba through. And I show them, the Ksuba is, I don't know, it has the date and the name. The Ksuba is four lines. The Tais Ksuba is four lines. And then the Danya is 7-8 lines. What's the Danya? Halacha is, whatever a wife brings into the marriage, she's entitled to. This fiction that whatever a wife owns becomes her husband's is totally not true. There's no such thing. A woman gets married and she's got $1 million in the bank and she gets married, that $1 million is her money. It's not his money. In the home, the income, she has an option. She can either keep the income for herself or she could say, you support me, and the income goes into the family, in the family pot. It's up to the woman. It's like it's such a fairy tale that's really pushed by the feminists. They say, you know, don't follow halacha. Halacha is biased against the women. What are you talking about? Halacha is all pro-women. The men are shortchanged every step of the way. A woman has a choice. She can say, eini nizainis v'eini yaisa. That means if she makes more than she needs to be supported, she can take what she makes. If she needs more to be supported, it's her choice. She does what she wants. Ludanya is what she brought into the marriage, that she's allowed to keep it. That's the nadin at the end. Now, it's a very confusing document. Ramosha writes, all his years in the Rabbanis, he never had to paskin what all this means at the end. At the end it says, this is what she brought in, we estimate the value, and in Ashtoris it's also pre-printed as another 100 zuz. So 200 for the ksuba, 100 for the Tais Ksuba, 100 for the Nudanya, Sacha Koel, Masayim Kuli, Kesar Zoku, it's 200 and 200. And bang, that's our Ksuba. Shemitah is not Mishamed Ksuba, and not a Tais Ksuba. Tais Ksuba is like a Ksuba. What about Nudanya? Is Shemitah Mishamed the obligation a husband has for his Nudanya? Mechai Kanievsky writes in Derech Amunah in Perek Tes Oisei, he says just Nudanya Yeshdei Yespein Apayskim. I think he says Vitzarachiyah. The whole Nudanya clause in the Ksuba is very, very confusing. What in the world does it mean? You're writing this is the Nudanya she brought in. This is this amount of money. Where, what, when? What are we talking about? We're talking about the clothing she brought in. We're talking about the jewelry she brought in. We're talking about the bank account she brought in. 100 zuz is not a whole lot of money. 100 zuz? A zuz is a dinner. 100, how much is a dinner? How many prutas? 192 prutas. So if a pruta is a penny, it's $2. 100 is $200. A pair of shoes could cost $200. Like, you know, it's the whole thing is very much. So it's the whole Nudanya clause is very strange. But,
Rabbi, what is it doing in Derech Amunah?
He has Hilch Shemitah. Hilch Shemitah is in Zeroim, in the last Chayil in Feldown. Yeah, but what he does in our Shtarais, and again, I don't think by the Sfaradim, by us, we say, we're Zakhna Bimilva, we say, Shabon and Nadanya. We don't want to bother estimating the value. We're setting it as a Chayiv of $100, 100 Zuz. Sounds like we're setting it as a chayv. Now, as long as they don't get divorced, there's no issue. It's not due. If they get divorced and then Shemitah passes, that's his tzarachian, how it works. Once it's a chayv, then Shemitah should be mishamed. On the other hand, it's intended to be like the rest of the ksuba, which is Shemitah is not misham. So it's a very difficult, the whole ksuba construction that we have is very, very confusing. Ramosha did, is he said, that ksuva bizman hazeh is the value of 100 pounds of silver, which is at least money. 100 pounds of silver, which isn't, can you calculate, $10,000, $15,000, it's in that range, which at least it's money. I was Edei Kedushin in Bnei Brak, Reb Nosson Gestetner was Masada Kedushin. So there, when you're an aide, you get 5 in 1. You're Edei Tenoim, Edei Ksuba, Edei Kedushin, Edei Badekin, and Edei Yichud. So I was all five. So when I was Edei Ksuba, the Chassan asked him, how much is this? He said, how much am I obligating myself? He said, about $500. He said, okay, that's worth it. You know, like, I'll obligate myself. If you go strictly with Zuzim, it's 200 Zuzim, 200. The total of Ksuba is 200. Tesfum is 100, and that's alone 100. It's 400 Zuz. Each Zuz is 192 prutas. Now, it depends your shita in how much a pruta is. But if a pruta is a penny, it's $1.92 for each zuz times 400. So you end up with $700-$800. It's not significant. Ramesha Shita in the tshuva is that it's basically a year's upkeep. A year's upkeep means most women can't live on $10,000-$15,000. It means food and shelter, I believe. And Ramesha is not clear in the tshuva. And that's why they are tying this on him.
It seems it's figure out. The first half is
10 billion aben. So everybody did a billion aben. It's true. If it's 10 billion aben, then it's not that much money. You know. So the question is what Ramesha means when he sets it 100 pounds of silver. It's too round a figure to understand what Ramesha meant. So I'll tell you what we do by a chosin. The question is, the chosin, what's he obligating? He doesn't even know what he's signing. So the chosin, the halacha is, if a rav tells a chassan to sign it, he signs it al das the rav, whatever is meant to be included. I rather tell, I think Rapam used to do this, I tell him, whatever chazal meant to be included in this shtar, you're obligating yourself, what you know, what you don't know, which is fine. I see misadre kedushin that are makbid to read it with the chassan, or to read it with the witnesses. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, don't read it with the witnesses. At the first page of Hilchos Ksuba, which I think is Simon Samaches, Samaches, and Ebenezer, it says the Mesadre should dafka not read it with witnesses. I've seen Mesadre Kedusha read it. I've never said anything B'shas Ma'isa. If I'm friendly with them afterwards, I send them a photostat of the page where the Ramah says not to do it. The Ramah says not to do it. The witnesses should sign Al Das, the Mesader, or the Rav will tell them to sign whatever he meant to be included. It says Shaloi Loitzi Laz Al Rishaynis. When you read it to a chassan, that's one thing. You want to sit down with the chassan the day before the wedding and tell him, "Here, this chassan, his head is swimming. He's sitting there by the chassan table. You know, he's fasting, and you start to explain to him what it means. It's very, very difficult. If you tell him you're signing on whatever chazal meant to be included in the shtar, that's the way it works. That's what we do to prizbal also. We do a prizbal. Whatever chazal meant to be included in a prizbal, we're doing. And that's it. Yes. You have to speak up. I don't hear long distance.
Why is the Kinesha Badam Shabbat? Once she gets engaged, what about the milk automatically?
No. Okay, let me tell you. The question is why it's not Mishamit. Now, Pashtus, it's not Ahava. It's the same reason I told you the nine Rishayim say about rental and salaries and books. It's not a loan. Since it's not a loan, until you bill, it's not a halva. The halacha is an almana as opposed to a grusha. I don't know why the Mechaber says grusha here. In Ebenezer it says grusha ve'almana, shmita is not mishamit. I don't know why the Mechaber says amikarish ishtai. It's almana too. But anyway, an almana is entitled to live off the estate until she looks to get married. In other words, call yimei al menusech. It's not Shem Gemara. That ate nizam minoi. Call yimei al menusech. As long as a woman is an almana, the only thing is if she collects the 200 zuz, then she can no longer live off the estate. Every almana has a choice: either collect the 200 or 400 zuz, or live off the estate in the level, the style of living which you were accustomed to in your lifetime. And this is the halacha. Now, 2 weeks ago, on Matzah Shabbos, I had a very interesting shaila. Some Yisraelim in the neighborhood came. Their father had remarried. And there were a number of children. All the children were married except for one. One boy still lives in the house. Now the father passed away. Now the son can't live in the house with his stepmother because of yichud issues. So they have yichud issues. So, I mean, his stuff is still there. Right now he moved into his brother's house. So now the almana is entitled to, what's she entitled to? To live in the house in the same level that she lived when she was alive. When she was alive, she didn't have a house all to herself. She lived in the house with her son. But now, it's not her fault the son has to move out, you know. But so the question is that the children rather sell the house and let her buy a co-op or rent or do something else. She wants to continue living in the house. So it's a very difficult difficult shaila, because it says that you're allowed in the house. Call you me'am and usech. But that's the din of a ksuba. Now that's why, to answer your question, that ksuba is not mishamit. It's not automatic that when there's a chi of ksuba, you have to pay. It's only when there's a tfiya. Until there's a tfiya, there's no obligation to pay, and otherwise you can live off the estate. That's what happens today. Every almana continues to live in the house, and a grusha is not like that. It only explains almana. Because not a chahava. It's not a chahava. What? Yes, you've had a principle. Yes, so we have this old problem that so Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Hamuna, which is the Rambam, goes through. We had grocer bills and wages and Eines Umafata and now Ksuva, four Sifin. So all four, as I said, these Taisus and the Rush and the Ran, they all say it's not a loan, easy. The Rambam, and the Sma brought it, says that the first ones is not the Derech to be Teveya until. So therefore you have to explain each of these. Now Eines Umafata, Chaim explains that it's an einish, it's a kapara, so it's not mishamit. What about a ksuba? So it's difficult. In the Derech Hamuna, he explains a ksuba is not mishamit because she has a right to live off the house. He brings a meiri. That explains almana. It doesn't explain grusha. He doesn't explain how grusha works. It could be it's just until you manai the ksuba. It's not the Derech. Sasachim in Chazal's time was also you did the work and then you build. His man has said around his reason would not apply. Okay, if you work by the day, it's yamit yischar. If you work by the week, it's by the week. It's if you're not teveya, then there's no chiyuv. It's a mitzvah, but not a chiyuv. Shaloi leitzi laz al rishayim. That's the reason the Rama brings. Not he might see laz on the ones that weren't, that they don't know what they signed.
I mean, I once saw that the reason we land at Suva is in case the chusin doesn't have to read, so he shouldn't say.
Well, I remember the Mordechai says we read the ksuba to make a hepsik.
Yeah, that's
it. So I don't know. Okay, it says. I got news for you. If the chusin doesn't know what the ksuba says, reading it doesn't help. Especially some people, they read, you know, you ever heard? I didn't read it.
Too late.
Someone told me when he reads it, he skips 2-3 lines. No one notices.
Mine doesn't well get that information.
They usually negotiate a settlement. It's rare that the ksuva is paid. I've seen ksuva payments, depending on the best, and I've never seen 100,000, 100 pounds of silver. Okay, let's go back to the Rama and Sif Yud Zayin. So we're almost done. We have this Rama, and then we're done with the Din of Shemitah Kesafim. Partial payment. Okay, hopefully she'll write a prisbal. Besides, by Gittin, no one does shtick. When it comes to Gittin, who does shtick? Okay, the Rama and Sif Yud Zayin. Rama throws in a totally new topic. This has to do with buying debt. Today, it's a very big market to buy secondary debt. It's a Yiddish business. The question is, if a guy gave a Yid a mortgage, or a bank gave a Jew a mortgage and he defaulted, it doesn't have to be a mortgage, any type of loan, and he defaulted, and subsequently a Jew buys the debt. Does that become a Jew's debt, or does it remain a non-Jew's debt? So let's see what it says here about Shemitah, and we'll see how that affects everything else. Rama and Sif Yud Zayin, Haba Mikayach Akum, Hariyuk Akum. Rama Shita is that somebody who buys debt from a guy. Again, the guy lent money to a Jew. The Jew is the loiva. The guy is the originator, the malva. And the Jew buys it from the guy. Hariyuk Akum. He has a din like the guy. No one's guaranteeing it. It's just the sale of debt without a guarantee. And therefore, the Ramah Shita is that the purchaser of debt only takes over for the originator. And Shmita is not Mishamit. Similarly, if you guarantee somebody's borrowing money from the bank and you guarantee it, and then you have to pay up the guarantee. When you pay a guarantee, you're purchasing the loan. You become the lender. The Jew now took the debt from the guy. But if you didn't take the debt from him, then it is mishamet. What's the hezber? Smal amid hay. Okay, 8 lines on the bottom, 9 lines on the bottom. Pirish ene teveh b'isishtar. If you take the paper from the guy, the originator, so you assume his loan. But if you didn't take it, el shetavai vutzuk lepayre b'shvilai v'nasim malva u'mishamet. If he paid him without taking over the loan, even though halach it is he's liable to the guarantor. So it's like a new loan. That's what it says there. So he says, if you formally take over the loan, then you're buying the paper. And if you don't, then it's like a new chayv and shmita's mishamit. So interest becomes a very difficult topic. When somebody buys debt, so what it says here is true. In other words, let's say a guy lent a Jew and the Jew defaults. And whatever, it's 10% a year. And the default is 5 years old. So now he owes him another 50% on top of the loan. And it's 5 years at 10%. So it's, let's say it's $100,000, $150,000. And a Jew buys it. All the debt that already accumulated, you have to pay the Jew. Now, a Jew steps into the guy's shoes for all debt that already accumulated. But debt going further, new debt, new interest going further, Generally, I'll explain to you an important exception. Generally, you can't charge interest. If a guy of a year owes a guy money and I buy the debt, now he owes me the money. Now I take the place of the guy that's ad hayayim, that's whatever it was till today. But now, going forward, I can't charge him new interest. Except when there's a mortgage that doesn't allow for prepayment. When there's a mortgage that doesn't allow for prepayment, then, or the penalty, even this penalty for prepayment, probably it's the same thing. In other words, the regular halachah of the loan is not for doesn't include prepayment. Then the Jew is allowed to charge interest going forward, because any loan that doesn't have a clause that allows prepayment, such a thing, the whole debt, even the future debt, is already set, and I think there are laws that you can't totally forbid prepayment. I think in America, you can't totally have to. There could be a penalty, but not a total. What? So the Sma brings that he's considered to take the position of the Akum. The loan has the dinim of a loan to an Akum, and you're taking the position of the Akum. Yeah. In Hilchus Ribbis, it's applied the way I just explained it. Yeah, sure. Definitely. You should take a shtar. Anything that's already accumulated, any schus that the guy has, you have. No schusim that you don't have. Okay, we're up to Sifyut Ches. Sifyut Ches is a new simin. It's the halachas of a prosbul. Just to introduce you, the rules of a prosbul, as you know, are written by Hillel. There was at least significant debate over Hillel's prosbul. It caused, unfortunately, in the time of the reformers in Germany, they saw Hillel as the first Reformed Jew. You know, the Shemitah, it's terrible. So he wrote a prose bill. So Lahavdil Alfadala, so they how did he'll change everything? So you should know the Gemara asked the question. Could it be the Torah says it's Mishamit Vasi Hillel, and he said it's not Mishamit? The Gemara's Turutzim are complicated. Gemara says, Abaya said, Shmita Bizman Azed de Rabbanan, and therefore the Prusbel works, the Shmita Bizman Azed de Rabbanan, so Abaya de Rabbanan, you can make Takonis. So he'll make Takonis. The explanation there is that he saw people are being over in a Deraisa, because there's a person not supposed to refrain from lending because of Shemitah. And of course, a very difficult design. Someone asks you for a loan to not lend it. And therefore, he made the takon. That's Abaya's teretz. Rava says, Hefker Bezen Hefker. That Hillel did it with the rules of Hefker Bezen Hefker. Again, because he saw people being nichshol in the lav. There's a lav in the Torah. Not to refrain from lending someone money because Shemitah is around the corner and it's going to be Mishamit. Shamlecha penyeh dover and levavcha b'liyal lema karvash nas hasheva. It's a pella. I don't know about everybody here, but most of us would think that way. Someone comes to you for a loan, there's no such thing as a prosbel. Someone comes to you for a loan, you know, a few months before Shemitah is Mishamit. He says, can you lend me $100,000? You know, like, what do you do exactly? Yeah. So it's a very big nesayin. You could just do, well, it's got $100,000 worth of mashkin, yeah. Or you could say Amadoshai Teshvitani. But technically he has to agree. Okay, I think we're gonna do Prusbel next week. I have to run out, I have to give out the Sidurim the Gemaras today in Yeshiva to the Ascholas Gemara class. So can I ask you, Yanki, to take care of it?